Let's turn in our hymnal sheet here to hymn number 268. It's on your sheet. It says in the bulletin 36, but it's How Firm a Foundation. Let's stand as we sing. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can take refuge in Christ Jesus, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for the truth of your word. May it go forth here today with power and great might, Lord. Lord, may our worship be honoring and glorifying to you. Lord, open our hearts here today. Let us learn from your word what you have for us, and just be with the pastor as he brings forth the message. Give him wisdom and clarity, Lord. We just ask this in your precious and holy name. Amen. You may be seated.
I want to invite you to say our memory verse together. It's printed on the back of the bulletin if you'd like to read it from there, or maybe you have it memorized. But let's say this verse together, the reference before and after. Psalm 84, 10 and 11. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. There you go. I want to welcome you this morning. This, I believe, is our three-month anniversary of coming back to church. We started back to church after coronavirus lockdown on May 17th, and today's August 16th, so almost 3 months. And in that time, I'm not aware of any coronavirus cases that have been spread here in our church. Perhaps I don't know about some, but I think it's been safe. And so what can we learn from that? Well, one thing we can learn is that the Lord has protected us thus far. And our verse tells us that the Lord is a shield, and a shield is an instrument of protection in battle. And we may be exposed to danger at times, but the Lord is able to protect us if he should choose to do so. And so it's good to be together here this morning. I want to invite you to join us for a prayer meeting this week on Zoom. We've started doing that 2 weeks ago, and we're going to try to do that again. We're going to add another prayer meeting, actually, Tuesday at 7 a.m. If anybody wants to join us in the morning, encourage you to do that. But we're also going to have a 7 p.m. Zoom prayer meeting on Tuesday evening. So Tuesday, 7 a.m., 7 p.m. You can come to one or come to the other or come to both. And there'll be a short time of prayer, but those links will be available. I'll send them out. They'll also be posted on our members page. But just encourage you to come together just for prayer. That's important that we do that. Wednesday, we'll be going out door to door in our church neighborhood. We're taking some time to do that. As you know, we have a lot more of these left that were packaged up for the fair. We didn't have the fair, so we're trying to get these out to people doing that door-to-door around the church. So Wednesday night at 7, we'll meet to do that. This past week, we didn't make it very far. As I went out, we had a couple longer visits with people. It seems like, maybe the lockdown has made some people, need a little more personal contact. And so that was true with some of the people in our neighborhood here around the church. But I invite you to come out. I know it's something that it's hard to get started to do maybe at first, but the Lord's able to help us and help us to try to reach out to our community in doing that. And I also want to challenge you to make a special effort to your neighbors, the people that you live around or your coworkers, and please take some of these. There's the boxes there. In the foyer, take however many you would use and go talk to your neighbors, give them out to the people around you. We package them this way in light of COVID-19 and everything, as everybody is doing the packaging now. So hopefully they'll be safe that way. So just challenge you to do that. And then we have an invitation card available that is to invite people, if you know of someone who can't come out to church, and if they would be interested, you can give them this, and this tells them how they can listen to the church service recordings on our website, or on the back of that card is a form where they could request a CD subscription. And so this is for somebody that you would know of that really would like to come out to church but can't, whether it's because of the pandemic or because of other reasons they're shut in and they would really like to join us. This tells them how they can do it and gives them that ability to request. Of course, they could call in and do that or you could relay that information yourself, but there is a form there. And so this is something that, this is something we don't necessarily want posted on Facebook just for the rabble rousers, the hoi polloi, but if you know of somebody that really would be interested would appreciate a church service where the hymns are sung, testimonies are given, the Bible is taught, somebody that would really appreciate that, then you know, feel free to give them that card that they could join in the recordings. Of course, these aren't live. This is what we're able to do right now with the recorded services. So that's available, and I encourage you to pass that along to somebody who would really appreciate it. And so with that being said, I suppose we should say hello to the people that are listening to us by way of recording. We are glad that you've chosen to tune in today, and I know there's several of you because you've told me that you listen and you appreciate being able to join in this way. And so hello to you. Thank you for joining us. And we hope this isn't a long-term solution. You know, we really want you to make it your goal to come back to church if you're able to. And we want to see you live and in person in the flesh, meeting with us here. But we are glad that you've been able to tune in today. And we trust that the service will be a blessing to you. We know it's not live, but whenever you're listening to this, we trust that it will help you to worship the Lord and be a blessing to you. We did have a Friday fellowship this past Friday. Appreciate those that came out to that. We had 32 that came out, and we had a good time together outside under our portico is where we ate. We had some pizza, and we had a lot of salad, so that was healthy. And then we had some carnival games and funnel cakes, and appreciate my wife and Donna Ray. They slaved over the hot oil and made up a lot of funnel cakes. I don't know how many they made, but I do know it was a quadruple batch of mix that was made up. And so we'll have to recover from that maybe till next year before we, you know, indulge on the funnel cakes. All right, so we do have some birthdays coming up. Mary Jones is tomorrow, and so if she's listening, I know she's one that listens on the recording, so happy birthday to Mary Jones. And then coming up on Thursday is my daughter Pearl. So Pearl's birthday is going to be Thursday, and she's going to be 4 years old. So that's coming up this week as well. All right, are there any prayer requests that you would have? Anything you want to mention while we're all together here? Yes, Pastor Gosman.
I forgot to mention this morning in Sunday school, but Deborah called from their church in Atlanta last night and told us that most of their people are sick, and so they just asked us to pray for them. They weren't sure that back then anybody would be able to be at their service this morning.
All right. Pray for the Perez family as they minister in Georgia. A lot of their people in their church facing some sickness, so remember them. All right. Anything else this morning? Yes, Mr. Reynard.
I've spoken
for Mr. Reynard. Rob?
I've spoken, and I didn't seem to have heard the question of Ms. Dorothy Emmons. I haven't heard anything other than what her son posted on Facebook.
All right.
She does know the Lord, but don't know where she's at right now. She's far in the hospital.
Okay, friend of Rob's who's in the hospital.
I worked with her many years ago when I was just out of high school.
Okay, former co-worker that's in the hospital right now. All right, anybody else? Okay, well, let's have another hymn.
Please take your hymn sheet and turn to hymn number 171, Spirit of God, Descend Upon My Heart.
scripture reading this morning, I invite you to turn to John chapter 7 again. John chapter 7. It's also text printed on the back of the bulletin, which we will read. It's a shorter text today, and we'll just read it all together in unison. John chapter 7, and verses 37 to 39. So let's stand in honor of God's word as we read this morning. Just read it in unison, all together, all the verses, John 7, 37 through 39. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not given because that Jesus was not yet glorified." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his word this morning. You may be seated. Let's bow our heads together as we look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of meeting here today as your people. We thank you, Father, for the protection that you have given to us in recent days as we've met. We thank you that you are a sun and a shield to us. And we rejoice in what you have done for us in these recent days. We thank you, Father, for all that you've done for us spiritually, giving us salvation through Jesus Christ. We thank you for the position that we hold in Christ, that we are seated together with Christ in heaven even now. And we thank you, Father, for this assembly of believers that's gathered here today. We come to you today to worship and to acknowledge our need of you. We confess, Father, our need of forgiveness, our need of cleansing here. We recognize that we still have our sinful nature and we struggle with that each day. Father, we thank you that we can come through Christ to you today and ask for that cleansing and that renewing by your Holy Spirit. And Father, we pray for the needs that we have here in this assembly that you know about. We pray, Father, for those who have not been able to join with us. We pray that you would watch over them and protect them. We pray, Father, for all of our protection here in these days. We think of those who are struggling with sickness of various kinds, diseases. Father, we pray that you be gracious, that you would uphold and strengthen each one of us. Our Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit to work in our midst. We thank you for giving him to us. We pray that our lives would be channels of blessing because of him. And Father, we thank you for this assembly where we can serve, and help us to do that as you would have us to do. Thank you for the gifts that you've given to each of us by your Holy Spirit, and we pray that we would see the need to exercise those in one way or the other to serve, and we pray that our body here would be built up and edified in you, and we thank you for the elders that you've given to us in this church, our leaders. And we pray for wisdom for them, special grace as we minister here to the flock. And we pray that our church would grow in you to be what you would have us to be. Our Father, we have come here to honor and glorify you in worship through giving. And we recognize that today. We thank you for your great blessing upon our lives, the ways that you've blessed us financially. And we come here today to offer to you a portion of what you've given. We pray that we do it with thankfulness, true gratitude for your working in our lives. So we pray that you be honored and glorified as these tithes and offerings are given today. Father, we pray for the spread of the gospel. We pray that for our own community and our own personal lives and opportunities. We pray that we be instruments used by you to share the precious truth with others. Our Father, we pray for this community. You know that there's a need for the gospel, for the truth here. And so we pray that our church would be a shining light as the word of God goes forth. And Father, we pray for our country. We know these are dark days in which we live, days in which the truth is desperately needed. The light needs to shine. And so we pray for the gospel to spread in this country. We thank you for the true believers that are here, that are serving you and ministering. And we just ask that you would help them to be a light all across this land. We pray for our authorities. We pray for our president. We ask for special protections for him. As it seems in these days, his safety is threatened. And we pray for your hand of protection to be on him. We pray for special grace and wisdom as he makes decisions. And we pray for his spiritual life. We pray that he would come and put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We think also of those in Congress and those in our state, those in our community. We thank you for the government that you've given to us. And yet, Lord, we see the great need that there is for wisdom in this hour. We thank you for our country and the freedoms that we enjoy. We pray for those to be preserved and for peace to prevail here in this land. We thank you, Lord, that we're able to assemble here and we have the freedom to do so in this moment of time. And we pray that this service and everything that's said here and that's done would give you the praise and honor and glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please take your song sheet, turn to hymn number 446, Satisfied. Let's stand as we sing.
Oh.
invite you to take your Bibles again and turn to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. We've continued this series in John's Gospel. And in John 7, we've seen a scene of Jesus ministering during one of the three major feasts of Israel, the Feast of Tabernacles. Last week, we saw the rejection that Jesus faced from the citizens of Jerusalem, people that lived there in the city, and also the religious leaders. What do you do when you face rejection by somebody? You know, it's easy just to give up on those people. But that's not what Jesus does as he faces rejection from these people in Jerusalem. We find in this very next paragraph, this short section, that Jesus invites them to come to him. He invites them once again to come and to believe on him. We have this very short section. This is one of those passages in Scripture that contains concentrated truth. A very short section of Scripture here, verses 37 and 39, is all we're going to look at this morning. But these people didn't deserve this invitation that Jesus gives in the midst of this feast. But we don't deserve it either. And yet God, even today, he issues the same call to people to come and to drink and to believe and to take this living water of salvation. We're going to look at three aspects of this invitation that Jesus gives this morning. First of all, we're going to see the people invited. And then secondly, the instructions of this invitation. And then thirdly, this morning, we'll look at the promise that goes along with this invitation. Notice, first of all, the people that are invited. And to do that, I want you to notice the timing of this invitation. As John tells us in verse 37, the timing of this invitation is pointed out. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Notice the timing of this invitation. We've learned that this was during the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles. That's the background of this entire chapter. There's significance in the time that Jesus issues the invitation. We've reviewed some about that feast here in recent weeks. It was one of the pilgrim feasts, one of the feasts in which people would make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem three times during the year, once for Passover, another time for Pentecost, and then this was the third feast, which was held in the fall time of the year, after the harvest. Part of the purpose of it was to give thanks to God for his blessing in that harvest. It was a feast that was a week long. It involved daily offerings and gifts and freewill offerings throughout the week. People utilized booths, tabernacles that were set up. This has been called the camping feast of Israel. If we have any campers here this morning, maybe you would have enjoyed camping out in booths, in tabernacles or tents for a week-long celebration. And part of the purpose was to look back and remember how God had led his people through 40 years of camping. All throughout the wilderness, they camped, and God had led and provided for his people. So people were in a festive and joyful mood during the Feast of Tabernacles. And then history tells us about another daily ceremony that took place during the Feast of Tabernacles, and that was a water ceremony. Every day, the high priest would go to the Pool of Siloam there in Jerusalem and take some of the water out of that pool and take it back to the temple and pour it around the altar. There was this water ceremony that was done with singing. They would sing the Psalms 113 through 18, the Hallel. And it was an act of thanksgiving for God's mercy in giving water. And there was a memorial in that ceremony as well. It was a reminder of how God had provided water to Israel in their time during the wilderness. God provided water from the rock. Out of a rock, God made water to flow for the Israelites in the wilderness. But there was also an expectation to that water ceremony. It was connected to the future spiritual blessings to come in the Messianic age. There were Messianic prophecies that were read during this ceremony that had to do with the coming of the Messiah and his starting of that glorious age, which we know as the millennium. But there was that expectation that was part of this as well. And it's against that background that Jesus issues this invitation. On this great day of the feast, perhaps the last day, the great climactic day of that Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus invites the people to come to him and drink. And notice the emphasis of the invitation. It says in verse 37 that Jesus stood and cried, saying, that doesn't perhaps seem unusual to us for a teacher to stand, but you have to remember that in Jesus' day, the teachers sat down to teach. The rabbis sat down. And so, really, this morning, maybe you should all be standing up and I should be sitting. But Jesus did something different in this moment. He stood up, and perhaps he went to a more public area in that temple complex. Perhaps he had been teaching to maybe a smaller group of people under one of the many porticos surrounding that great vast temple complex in the first century. But Jesus stands now, and he speaks to all people that are gathered there. And it says he cries. We saw that word in our text last week when Jesus was speaking, responding to the citizens of Jerusalem that thought they knew all about him in verse 28. Same word is used. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, "Ye both know me and know whence I am." They thought they did, but they didn't really. But now Jesus cries again. He lifts up his voice, and he cries. He speaks out to everybody. Perhaps there's some emotion in his voice as he cries out to them, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink," he says. Who were the people that he was speaking to? Well, as we think about the time of his invitation here, the people that he's speaking to are Jews. He issues that invitation to the Israelites during one of the most Jewish times in the nation of Israel, the Feast of Tabernacles, right at the great day of that great Jewish feast. Jesus stands and cries out to the Jews, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." You know, if you were to go to Israel today and sit down with one of their leaders, Mr. Benjamin Netanyahu and his cohort now, he has a co-prime minister, Benny Gantz is his name, and you were to ask them what they think about Jesus Christ, what would they say? I don't know specifically about those two men, but, you know, for the most part, Israel today does not believe in Jesus Christ. It's a very secular society. That's not to say that there's no significance to the existence of a modern state of Israel. It seems that there must be some significance to it. But, you know, for many, many years, for the most part, even to this day, Israel has not accepted this invitation. They continue to reject it. And they rejected it in Jesus' day, and yet still Jesus issues this invitation to the Jews for them to come to him and to drink. And there's a day coming in the future when God's people Israel will once again turn to Jesus. They'll turn to their Messiah coming in the future. There will be believers from Israel who will recognize their Messiah. You know, the fact that Jesus offers himself as to Israel here reminds us that Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promises to Israel. Jesus is the fulfillment of that expectation that even the Jews of Jesus' day were thinking about as they went through those ceremonies of the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths, there was expectation there of the Messiah. And Jesus, in this moment, he speaks to them and he invites to them, and he is saying to them that he is the fulfillment of that. He's the fulfillment of those expectations that they had. And that's a reminder to us that God keeps his promises. God made promises to Israel, and he fulfilled those promises, many of them in Jesus Christ, still more to fulfill coming in the future and the tribulation and the millennium. But it reminds us that all of the promises of God are good and reliable. In this moment, Jesus is reminding them of that, that God will keep the promises that he has made to Israel and to us. So the people that are invited here are the Jews, but you know, it's more than the Jews. We find here as we look at this invitation, what does he say? If any man thirst, if any man thirst, any man that thirsts, Jesus invites to come to him. Of course, this thirsting is spiritual. It's a desire. It's a longing for something. There may be some of Israel that thirsted on that day, but this invitation goes beyond Israel. Any man that thirsts. You know, do you enjoy being thirsty? Is being thirsty something you really look forward to? Say, wow, I'm really glad I'm thirsty today. I really just enjoy thirsting. No, thirsting is something unpleasant. And spiritual thirsting, I think we could say, is also something that's unpleasant. It may involve a conviction of sin, a sense that something is wrong, a sense that there is distance between a man and God. It might be a feeling and a weight of sins, a desire to get relief and forgiveness. Perhaps it's also a concern about where to spend eternity, a knowledge of the fact that death is coming at any moment. And what's going to happen after that? This is thirsting. The soul is parched and dry and needing of refreshment. Thirsting can be unpleasant. You know, thirsting may not be very common. There's a sense in which everybody thirsts because everybody, at least, you know, the world out there, the unsaved, they don't have the water of life. But the real thirsting, the real longing after God, the real sense of conviction of sins, acknowledgement that something is wrong, may not be very common. There may be more that are completely careless about their spiritual state. There may be more people that are absolutely ignorant of their great need for God. The Bible calls men dead and asleep and blind. But we know that there are a few in which God is working. And that may begin by God creating a thirst in a man, in a woman, in a boy, in a girl. A sense that something is not right. That they are a sinner. And they need relief. They need forgiveness. You know, if God is doing that work, there will be a thirsting. There will be an awareness of a problem. So we see the people that are invited here, the Jews. Jesus is inviting the Jews, but along with that, he's inviting any man that thirsts. And anyone today, that invitation is still open to. We see the people invited. But then secondly, this morning, notice the instructions that are given, the instructions of this invitation. Here we see two commands, two imperatives that are the emphasis of this invitation. They're two separate commands, but really there's overlap with them, with believing. But notice it says, In verse 37, Jesus says, "Let him come unto me and drink." Those two instructions. Let him come unto me and drink. We see the need to come to Jesus as the fountain. How many options does Jesus give? Does Jesus say, pick your fountain of water, who you would like to drink from? No, he doesn't say that. Doesn't give anybody options for what they should choose from. He says, come unto me and drink. Jesus is the only source, the only fountain of salvation. And that fountain of salvation, of living water, is the same for the Jews and for the Gentiles. Jesus offers himself to the Jews, but it's that same source for the Gentiles as well. It's the same source for the blacks today, for the whites today, for the Asians today, all the nationalities that exist in this world today, however different they may be. Jesus says to all of them, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He's the only source of living water. Of course, we live in a day of increased division, in case you didn't know that, between various classes and cultures of people, even in our own country. And yet Jesus invites everybody to himself. And, of course, we know that that's the only thing that's really going to unite people, is if they take of that fountain, Jesus, and drink of him. Not because of the conditions that exist in our society, if those are all made the same, but only if people will take and drink of the fountain of living waters, the only one fountain. Then we see here that people must come only to him. As simple as this invitation is, coming to Jesus as the fountain, there are many that believe that by coming to church, or by coming to the pastor, or by coming to communion, or by coming to baptism, they're saved. You know, that's not the same as coming to Christ. And those that are truly saved, they know the difference. They realize that all those things are the fruit, the result of coming to Christ. But coming to Christ is the only thing, the only way that we have salvation. Coming to him in simple faith, coming only to him. And we see to come is to move to Jesus. Jesus says, let him come. That word implies a movement. There's a movement from one thing to another. To come is to move. And to come is to have a transfer in your life. To transfer your trust from yourself, from your sins, from your own way of doing things, and to move that trust and that faith to Jesus Christ. You move out of the world and the world's way of doing things, turning from sin into God, turning to God's way. You move from the broad way that leads to destruction, and you enter the narrow way that leads to life everlasting. The way is not easy, but the end is heaven. There's a movement, a coming that takes place to Christ. Jesus issues this instruction here, let him come unto me and drink. The second instruction here is to drink. Verse 38 defines what that is. He that believeth on me. To drink is to believe. It's a picture of our belief. To take and to take that cup of salvation in Jesus Christ and to allow it to come into you, to drink it, to personalize it, to personally receive it. Nobody else can drink for you. It's not something that I can do for you. It's not something that your parents can do for you or anybody else. Only you can take and drink that cup of salvation. And to drink is something you only do once. Jesus talked to the woman at the well, you remember, about the living water. And he said to her in John 4:14, "Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst." Jesus didn't say you needed to drink every week, every month. He said if you drink once, you never thirst. It's a one-time action that you do, one time of salvation. Jesus says, "Drink and believe. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." There's a story about a Spanish ship that was sailing up the Amazon River, and it came, rather, it was in the ocean outside the Amazon River, and it came to a point near the mouth of the Amazon River there, and it threw down its anchor and stopped because the crew had no water. Another ship came up the Amazon, a ship of Peruvian sailors, and they found this other ship that had been anchored, and they called out to it and said, "What's wrong?" And the Spanish sailor said, "We have no water. There's no water." And the Peruvian sailors, knowing where the ship was anchored, right there at the mouth of the Amazon, they said, "You have water. Just lower down your buckets and bring it up and drink." The sailor said, "No, we can't do that. We have no water. We cannot do that. That's not going to work." They said again, "Just take your buckets and lower them down into the water and pull them back up and you'll have the water that you need." He said, "No, we can't do that. There isn't any. We can't take that kind of water." See, those Spanish sailors, they didn't realize that there at the mouth of the Amazon, they were in fresh water. They had changed into that area where the river flows into the sea, and they had the fresh water. All they needed to do was lower their buckets, bring them back up and drink. That's like many people today who are thirsting. Maybe a few people today who really have a sense of their sins and a sense of their need of something. Jesus says to them today, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink." That's all it takes. Just lower your bucket, so to speak, into that living water of Christ and pull them up and drink. And you'll be satisfied. But you have to drink. You have to come and believe on Christ. Jesus says, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Do you thirst today? Boys and girls, do you thirst today? Do you know that you're a sinner? You know, you're not too young to come to Jesus and to believe on Him, to drink of that living water. Men and women, do you thirst today? You know, you're not too old, if you thirst, to come and to drink of Jesus Christ. Perhaps there are people that are struggling with life, not knowing where to turn. You need to come to Christ and to drink of Him, to believe on Him. Some are self-righteous today and trusting what they have done. That's worthless to God. God doesn't care what we have done before Him. All He cares about is whether we've come to Him, we've come to Christ. You need to humble yourself and recognize your way is not best, but God's way is the only way. You come to Christ and drink of Him. That's the only way God has provided. We see here this morning the people invited. We see the instructions of this invitation. And then thirdly, I want you to notice the promise of this invitation that's given. You know, there's actually more than one promise that Jesus gives with this invitation. Remember, again, Jesus with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, and the promise that He gave to her was eternal life. In John 4:14, He said, "Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." And that's a promise of this invitation as well. But notice here, there's another one. Another promise that's given in verse 38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Here we see an additional promise. It is the promise that the believer by the Spirit of God becomes a channel of blessing to others. The believer becomes a channel of blessing by the Spirit of God. Notice some things about this promise we see as the explanation is given here. First of all, it's a something that was promised scripturally. You notice Jesus says, "He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said," in verse 38. Well, what Scripture is Jesus talking about? What passage is he referring to? As we go back and try to look and find what he's referring to, we don't find one specific Scripture that seems to say that. Rather, we find the entirety of Scripture that says that. This is the basic idea of the Scriptures. And we would say the same thing sometimes about the Bible. We would say, you know, the Bible teaches marriage is one man and one woman. The Bible teaches that men are to be pastors, not women. The Bible teaches such and such. And are there texts we could go to? Yes, there's many that we could go to prove that. And I think it's the same way as Jesus refers to the Scripture. He's talking about the entirety of the Old Testament Scriptures. They teach this promise that by the Spirit of God, the believer becomes a channel of blessing to others. Some of the Scriptures that seem to speak about that are found in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 3 says, "For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring." And later in Isaiah 58:11, it says, "The Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters fail not." Then in the prophet Ezekiel in chapter 36, he says this, God says through Ezekiel, "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my Spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them." It was a promise with a scriptural basis here. And then notice that this promise depends on a key event. Verse 39, we have an explanation that's given. "But he spake of the Spirit which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." When Jesus spake these words at that Feast of Tabernacles, there was an event that had not happened yet, that this promise depended on. John is telling us about that here. And the Spirit had not yet come in this way. The Spirit existed, the Spirit ministered, but in a different way. Later in John 16, verse 7, Jesus predicted the coming of the Spirit, where he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." And it seems that that is what is being referred to here, that future event when Jesus would send forth the Spirit to be indwelt by believers, which happened on the day of Pentecost, another one of those major feasts of the Jews. That is when the Spirit came and believers began to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. But notice how Jesus refers to this key event that needed to happen first. Or rather, John refers to it here. He says, "Because that Jesus was not yet glorified." You know, that glorification is the humiliation that Jesus was about to undertake on the cross. And yet, the Bible's description of that is glory. Something that to most people would be shame, the death on a cross, the Bible refers to as glory. In fact, the Apostle Paul put it this way in Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth." We know that from our perspective, that happened. Jesus humbled himself. He was crucified upon the cross. He was buried in a tomb. And then he was raised from the dead the third day, and he was exalted. He ascended to heaven. And after he ascended to heaven, he sent forth the Spirit of God upon believers, upon us. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. This promise depended on a key event. And then notice in verse 38, this promise is something that starts in us. Jesus said, "Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Now, the word belly here is literally the word that means stomach. And you have to remember the Hebrew way of saying things, the Jewish way of saying things was a little bit different from us. We would refer to the inner part of a person usually as the heart. And yet the Hebrew way of doing things, the Old Testament way of speaking of that was to speak of the belly. And so perhaps some of them would say, you know, "I love you with all my belly." And we would say, "I love you with all my heart." But it's just a way of talking about the inner part of a person. And Jesus says, from that inner part of a person, there's something that flows out of them. It means that ministry is something that starts in us because the Holy Spirit is in us. And then we see it flows out of us, verse 38. "Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." There's a flowing of blessing. It's not like a pond. It's not like the Dead Sea. You know, the Dead Sea in Israel, it doesn't have any life in it. It doesn't have any outflow of that Dead Sea. So much concentration of minerals there because of the way it's located. And that's not a picture of the Spirit's ministry in the believer. Spirit's ministry in the believer is that there's a river that flows out. There's an outflow that comes out of that believer. And then notice, verse 38, we find that it's an abundance. It's an abundance here. I want you to notice that word rivers. Notice that it's not just one river, but it's rivers, plural. And that word river here is a word that refers to a swollen, overflowing stream. We find it used by Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, verse 25, where it says, "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock." Well, that word floods is the same word here for rivers. There's an abundance of blessing that flows out of the believer. So we see this promise of the Spirit's ministry through the believer. It's not just one stream, but it's rivers like floods going out to others. It goes in various directions in different ways. So what does that mean for us? What does that mean we should do? What should we do? Well, first of all, we should look for ways that we can direct the flow of blessing to others. Look for ways you can direct the rivers that flow out of your heart and be a blessing to others. Many, many ways, many rivers that flow out of your life. I hate to say it again, but COVID-19, all right, I said it. What has that done to us? Well, Perhaps one of the things it's done is turned us inward. And we've begun to be more inward focused and focused on our own selves and our own lives and can't go out and do other things. And that's been a change that's happened. But we need to look for ways where we can flow out to others. God has given us the Spirit in order to do that. God has set up the church to be where and who you serve. The Spirit, with His indwelling presence, has given each one of us that are believers gifts. And God intends for us to use those gifts to serve other people, to serve the body of Christ. They're not given just to be inward on our own selves and our own families, our own little worlds, but they're designed to be used in service for the body of Christ, upon those that we can be a blessing to. And also beyond that, are you trying to bless anyone right now? What opportunities are there right now? What can you do for the world, the lost around you, your neighbors, your family, your friends? This truth here, this promise, reminds us of the fact that we need to be looking for ways that we can direct the rivers that flow out of us because of the Spirit of God in us to other people. And then another thing we should do is be careful not to block the flow of the rivers from your life. Be careful that you don't block the flow. And there are many ways that we can do that. We can choke that flow of those rivers to other people and just sort of stop them up. And we have to be careful that we're not blocking that flow, whether it be through disobedience to the Lord, through sin in our life. We can cause those rivers to become cut off and choked. And then finally, remember where the rivers of blessing come from. There's a lot that we can do as Christians that's done in our own strength because we think that we can do something. But we always need to remember that the reason that God is able to use us is because the Spirit of God that He's put in us. That's the reason why we're able to serve. That's the reason why we're able to do things for others. It's not really even our own doing. It's the Spirit of God flowing through us. The rivers of blessing that come out to others. There's a man in New Hampshire that grew up around an old farmhouse. And during the time that he grew up there, his family would go on vacation there, actually. And he remembered as a child a well that was there at this farmhouse. And as the years passed, that well was sealed up and they didn't use it anymore. And this man went back to the old farm, and he just really wanted to get some water from that old well. And so he unsealed the well, he put a bucket down in, and wanted to bring up some of that water. But it was dry. And he thought, why is that well dry? And so he went around and talked to the neighbors, and he found out that many of the wells in that area were fed by, they called them rivulets. Little areas where the water would seep in. And if that well was not being used, if that well was not being having water brought up out of it, there'd be little particles that would creep into those rivulets and mud, and it would become stopped up if it wasn't being used continually. And that's what had happened to that well that was there on the farm. You know, as Christians, we're never going to lose the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God comes and seals the believer. But there are things that we can do that may grieve and hinder the effectiveness of the flow of the Spirit in our lives. And I think perhaps one of those ways that we hinder that flow is by not making use of the gifts that God has given us. And not attempting to direct that flow to other people to be a blessing to them. And perhaps that would lead to a lack of output in our lives. And maybe we're allowing that to happen. Maybe you're allowing that to happen in your own life. You say, well, things are different now, and it's just not the same as it was before. You know, that's true. But it may be that we need to look for ways, look for other ways that we can be a blessing to others. Maybe they're not the same ways. Maybe they're different ways. But yet still, there's something that God has gifted us to do, not because of anything in us, but because He's put the Spirit in us. And He's given us the ability to be a blessing to others. And that is the promise that He issued here with this invitation, the promise of the Spirit of God in us that flows out of us to be a blessing to others. It's a promise that's only for those who accept that invitation, who listen to the instructions from Jesus here. What are those instructions? If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this promise, this invitation. Thank you that you still give it today through the Scriptures. Father, we pray for those who are thirsting. We thank you that they do thirst. We know it means that you're working in their hearts and lives. And we pray for those who don't thirst. We pray that your Holy Spirit would bring conviction to them, make them aware of their need to long for you to get relief. And Father, we thank you that you have allowed us to take of that water and to drink. And Lord, we pray that we would be a blessing to others, to the body of Christ, to the world around us. And help us, Lord, not to hinder that flow. Help us to be channels of blessing through and by your Holy Spirit. We thank you for Him, for what He enables us to do. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let's take our song sheet now as we close. And we'll sing that hymn, Channels Only. That's what the Holy Spirit has made us to be, channels of His power, of His working in our lives. Let's stand as we sing number 160, Channels Only.